Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.
Sure enjoyed the good meal and the good fellowship that we had this just a little while ago, and happy to be standing before you again. Are we allowed to give postscripts?
Sure.
Can you give a postscript? You know what that is. P.S. at the end of the letter. I actually mentioned this a while ago. We left there where the Lord was telling his disciples that he has to work while it's day. And we discussed the fact that the Lord instilled into us, or rather he exhibited a sense of urgency. Yes. And that was conveyed to us, that we who make up his church, that we might have instilled in us a sense of urgency as we looked at. And I'm thankful for your witness here at Donaldson and all the other churches that are here, that we may all of us, have within us a renewed sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. But having said that, sometimes it's easy to confuse urgency with panic. And we don't need to do that. We don't need to panic. If you feel panicked, look to the Lord. That's the source of the one we have. That doesn't mean you and I are not supposed to have a sense of urgency about us, and I pray that we would. But let's not confuse urgency with panic, because our God's in control.
Amen.
He's in control, and He delights when we look to Him.
That's right.
That's what He expects. But as a father to his children, he is delighted when we look to him. Can you think of anything greater than you might want to do is to delight your parents or your God? And he's delighted when we look to him. And may that be our experience. We're still in John chapter 9. We're still there. We're going to continue forward. I want to relate an experience to you. And I mentioned at the outset that we looked at sight, but then we also considered the concept of super sight. In fact, we're going to find that this man here is going to be blessed with not only sight, but is he not going to have super sight? He sure is. He's going to be being possessed of that. It's amazing as you get older, I think about things that I used to didn't think about at all. And I'm going to relate an experience that I had growing up. For those of you that may not know, my father was an elder. And there was a brother who lived in the town where we lived. And Brother Carroll was blind. Now, he was not congenitally blind like this man, but his father was an elder. And he had grown up in the household of Brother Mullins. And at 17 years old, now this would have been in the mid-30s, he was stricken with a severe stroke. And he was blinded from that day forward. And he never saw the light of day. And he lived with his parents. He lived with his father and his mother. And his dad tried to serve among several Old Baptist churches. And his mother and father passed away, and he was relegated to a nursing home in the town where we live. And I say that word nursing home charitably. I think by today's standards, you would look at that and you would say, are you kidding me? Because I remember that from the 60s. Big old ramshackle house, and this blind man lives in it. And if you saw it, you would weep. You would cry. And his siblings were alive, and they didn't care. They just didn't care. And we'd go by every Sunday, and we'd pick up Brother Carroll. And I remember this stupid kid used to think of it as an inconvenience. I'm so ashamed of that. I look back on that now, Gary. And I realized he was not a man of many words, but when he did say something, it meant something. And the conditions that he lived in and the life that he lived, yet he looked to the Lord. in every aspect of his life. And I remember my dad would say, my dad tried to keep him in little incidental items, toiletries, you know, shaving cream, soap, things that he just needed on a day-to-day basis. And one day, I remember my dad said, "Brother Carroll, is there anything you need?" And he said, "Oh yes." And his dad said, "Well, okay." You know, he was gearing himself. You know, what does he need? He said, "What you need, Brother Carroll?" He said, "I need the mercy of God." Now, was he supersighted? He was supersighted. He was blind, but could he see? Yes, he could. He sure could. You know, Brother Sonny, I hope I never forget that. I hope that stays with me to my dying breath. The realization that a man who didn't see the light of day, that was a frail little man that had been thrown away by other people, yet he realized he was in need of the mercy of a sovereign God. Wasn't that in chapter 19, 13 of Matthew where the Lord said, "Kings and prophets have desired to see the things that you see and have not. Right. Blessed are you."
That's right.
And Brother Carroll, in that sense, was blessed beyond measure. When I was in college at Northeast, he died. And I didn't come back but for the funeral or anything. But this brother died, a sighted man. Was he sighted? We sang a hymn this evening, one of the, "He Hideth My Soul." Blind woman. Did she have sight or what? Mm-hmm. So we're continuing forward here, and we're in this, we didn't get too awful far, so let's make some tracks here. Remember, he's still with the first audience. The first audience being his disciples. And they, bless their hearts, they were clueless, weren't they? Remember that question they asked? And I don't have time to backtrack, but anyway, verse 6, "And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. So, the Lord stoops down and spat on the ground and took some mud and put it in the man's eye. Now, I'm 66, and I have a doctor's appointment with an optometrist every 6 months, as many of you might as well. And I, to this day, none of the treatments, brother, that he's ever given me involved spit and mud. I don't know. You'll see a show of hands here? That hadn't happened. In fact, the reality of the matter is that if we did do that, I think we'd be going the other way, wouldn't we? I think if somebody rubs sand and mud and spit in your eye, I think it'd put a good eye out. I think that's accurate. I think you would. I think we'd sure be going to the ER, okay? But what is the mud and what is the spittle? What is that indicative of? That's indicative of the grace of God. Because, you know, when we look at the essence of what grace is, and when we distill it down, of course, we know that grace comes from God, but what is the essence of, that's the word I was thinking of, what's the essence of grace? The essence of grace is that which is contrary to nature. Well, that would put it out. This man was blessed. And that's one of the things that we need to always remember about grace versus the natural versus the spiritual. All the way back to the book of Genesis, we find that that which is natural mimics and mocks and ridicules and makes fun of that which is spiritual. Mm-hmm. That pattern is only, it only goes back to Isaac and the fact that his brother mocked him, which represented the flesh and that which is natural. And you know that Mama got upset and he was banished, but brethren, is that your experience in our daily lives? Do we ever see the flesh and that which is natural and carnal mocking spiritual things, that which is contrary to it? So as an encouragement to us, and we need encouragement, mm-hmm. Be encouraged, brethren, and don't be disheartened when we see the spiritual being ridiculed by that which is of the flesh or of the earth. And just realize, brethren, that's part of the territory. And that's just part of what we're going to have to deal with. But the Lord's with us and in the matter. And that's just one of those things we're going to have to contend with. May that encourage you. Don't forget that, because it's important. Anyway, he spit on the ground, put it in his eye, and told him to go wash in the pool at Siloam. And he did, and he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now, let's break something down here. Let's dissect this just a second. When the Lord gave this commandment to this man, was he blind or was he sighted? He was blind. Couldn't see. And the Lord told him to go and do it, and then he was sighted after that. Where was the Lord? Well, he wasn't there. So would it be a fair statement? Would it be a fair statement, Brother Sandage, that this man never knew what the Lord looked like? Never saw him. He was blind when the commandment was given, and he was obedient having done it. So that's going to play into this as we roll forward here a little bit. Now, we're through with the disciples. Bless their hearts. We're not going to encounter them again. Well, that was a real faithful bunch. You know, like Peter, Lord, you can count on me. I'm going to be with you. Okay? All right? So we're through with the disciples. You know, they're still convinced deep down in their heart that somebody done something wrong for this in order for this to happen. And, you know, the Lord gave them an answer and told them that wasn't it, but they were a product of their environment. Okay? Kind of plagues us today, doesn't it? Or aren't we sometimes affected by our environment? And these things creep into us. Well, they were no different in that day. And the Lord addressed that, but then they're gone. We're not going to see them anymore. So the first audience is gone. Verse 8, now we're down to friends and neighbors. Friends and neighbors. Boy, this is a great bunch. And they're going to come up with some questions here. And let's see how they approach it. Now remember, the man is now sighted. And nobody's got a clue as to how it happened. All they know is they've known this man since Rover was a pup. And all they know is he can now see, and their curiosity is piqued and twinked. The neighbors, therefore, and they which had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? This is him. Why, we know you. And some said, this is he. Others said, don't you love this? He just looks like him. It's really not. He's a doppelganger. He's got a doppelganger out there somewhere. That's really not him. It's just some guy floating around looks like it. Now, remember what I told you, what we mentioned earlier? Don't you marvel at the fact that this is human behavior? I mean, is this us at our finest? Of course it is. This is how people act. Which confirms that this is a real-time event. Mm-hmm. This is not a novel. This isn't made up. This occurred because this is people in their prime behavior. It looks like him. He is like him, but what does he say? Y'all, it's me. Mm-hmm. It's me. I'm the one. Therefore said they unto him, now, what would you ask? You've seen this man. What's the question out of your mouth? The same one they ask. How in the world did that happen? And that's just what they did. And he answered, and he said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool at Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received my sight. And said they unto him, where is he? You say he did it, where is he? What did he say? I don't know. First of all, he couldn't have even, except by voice, he could not have identified him. Is that right?
That's right.
So, what do? They call in reinforcements. And who's the reinforcements? It's the third crowd. The Pharisees. And they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Now, let's go back to our friends and neighbors. How did they handle this? He told them his best experience here. He told them what had happened from his vantage point. And did they buy it? What do you think? Did they buy what he was saying? I'm afraid they took the tack that people do and the tack that we see in the world today when someone encounters something that they cannot explain.
That's right.
And they did what we do by nature. They back up. They back up. How many people today in this enlightened age that we live in, this age full of knowledge, how many people have you ever heard say, I won't believe it till I can explain it? You ever have people say that? Happens all the time. Until I can explain this to my satisfaction, I'm not a believer. That happens in the Lord's church today. I've had people tell me, Brother Sane, they may have told you before, when I get more of my questions answered, I'll join the church. Have you ever had anybody tell you that? You know, Brother Jesse, if that's the standard, you might as well stay away. And I'm not discouraging someone from joining the Lord's church. That's not what I'm doing. But if you've got a litmus test and you've got a standard that's got to meet your criteria, this church might not be good enough for you. I'm saying that sarcastically. We live in a day and an age where people say they gotta understand it and explain it before they'll believe it. I go over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and Paul is talking to us about the resurrection. And what does he tell us? Behold, I give you an answer. Is that what he said? Did he say that?
He did not.
Behold, I show you a mystery.
That's right.
What is a mystery? My mom used to love to read mystery novels. You know what a mystery novel is? And according to those books, there's always an answer at the end. You know, the butler did it or whatever, you know. But what is a mystery by definition? It's truth unrevealed. Mm-hmm. Truth, yet unrevealed. Mm-hmm. In time, it won't be a mystery. It'll be truth revealed. Yeah. But Paul's right. Saying, at this time I show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep. But we shall all be changed. And Paul's telling us a mystery. And let me tell you my experience. And this may or may not correlate with y'all's experiences, but I'm 66 years old. Brother Sonny, you're about 66. You're maybe about the same age. Okay. Okay, well, we won't. Okay, anyway. We're about the same age. But, brother, I'm 66. And let me tell you how I sum up these questions and answers. I don't know that at 66, I'm even to the point where I'm asking the right questions, let alone trying to get the right answers. I don't know if that's your experience, but I've gone so long without even asking the correct questions in my life to where if that's going to be the standard, if that's going to be the criteria, I'm in a lot of trouble. I don't know if that mimics you or not. But I'm just now realizing how much I don't know. I'm not even asking the right questions. So how was it with these people here? These people felt like unless they can get the answer, they're not going to believe this. I called your pastor a couple of years ago. I'm going to t- tell him on that. I don't know if you remember this conversation. I said, Brother Sonny, this was actually related to something else, but this'll fit in here. I said, Brother Sonny, put on your pharmacy hat. I got a pharmacy question for you. He said, okay, Brother Jerry. And I said, I want you to explain to me why an aspirin works. That's the simplest medicine I can think of. I mean, if there is that about as simple medicine as there is? Okay, that's fine. I want you to, and the complexity was irrelevant. I just want to note the simplest medicine we can think of. I want you to tell me why it works. So he was getting all revved up. And I let him go. He started telling me, he said, Brother Jerry, let me tell you how this works. Well, he got that chemical, it running on. I don't remember anything he said. But it sure sounded good and educated, and I know it is, and I know whatever he told me was the truth. And I let him go all the way through it, if you'll recall. Finally, he got through, and I said, well, Brother Sonny, I said, that really wasn't my question. You told me how an aspirin works. My question is, why does an aspirin work? And he kind of chuckled. He said, okay, I get it. You see the difference? Bayer does not know why, that the aspirin people, they don't know why an aspirin works. They don't. They don't know why those chemicals react in the way that they react. They don't know why. All they know is that they do. Am I correct, brother? We just got the COVID vaccine. Same pattern. They just plug in, these computers link up with everybody, and all this comes together, and they take the known things that they know of interactions and how this all comes together, and we're blessed by God, and this revelation is given to us, and I'm thankful for it. But let me ask you this. Would it be hypocritical of me, yes or no? This is a Judge Judy question, okay? You know, she's always yes or no. Would it be hypocritical of me if I have a fever? And I'm one of these that's got to know why it works, or I got to know why this happened, and I don't get the answer, and I'm like I'm gonna take a studge to it. Would it be hypocritical of me with that same attitude to say, you know, I'm having a fever or I got an ache, but because I don't know why it works, I'm not gonna take that aspirin. You see the point? If I get to the point, I'm going to take the aspirin, and I don't have a clue how it works. In fact, Brother Sonny, I really don't care. All I know is that it does. Same way here, brethren. You see, they reacted the way people act today. It's no different. Same MO. So what do they do? We're going to go get the religious leaders. We're going to go get the Pharisees. You talk about a nasty bunch. You know, these Pharisees, and they went to get the Pharisees, and they brought him to him that aforetime was blind. I got my clock this time, y'all. Let me see here. And and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And then said the Pharisees, also him that had received his sight. And he said unto him, put the clay. He relates the experiences to them. And he said, put the clay in the eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Aha, gotcha. Aha, we have a loophole. Aha, let's take the focus off of what happened, and let's create a diversion. Now, is that what happened? In other words, we're going to get legalistic. We're going to quash the spirit with legalism. Does that ever happen? Are we ever guilty of quenching the spirit with legalism? And we're looking for an out. Well, that's what they did, and it was all in a means to subvert and to take the focus off of really what was going on. In fact, what the Pharisees were intent on doing, y'all ever heard the term gaslighting? You know what that is? That's when you convince somebody that what, in fact, we're seeing that today pretty evident. That's someone taking a position and someone that opposes that position and then basically looking at them and saying, are you crazy? How could you possibly think that and convince them that whatever it is that they think or believe is not valid or accurate? Well, that's what the Pharisees were trying to do here. And they were trying to hide behind the couch, the smoke screen of this legalism. Aha, we got them. Therefore, the Pharisee said, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Well, they got to squabble amongst themselves about it. They couldn't even, you know, the opposition couldn't even stay together. They were at each other's throat. And they said unto the blind man, what sayest thou of him that opened thine eyes? Isn't it amazing what they're asking him? He said he is a prophet, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight. So, what they're going to do now, we're going to bring in the third group. So, the friends and neighbors, what did they see? They saw a dilemma that they couldn't explain. So what they're going to do, they're going to back off. So they're going to go get somebody else. So they bring in the Pharisees, and the whole thing is repeated to the Pharisees. What do the Pharisees see? They saw trouble. They saw trouble. They saw someone that was doing something, and he did it on the Sabbath, which really didn't matter to them, but it's as good a diversion as any. So they go and get his parents. This is the fourth group. And in reality, brethren, this is the group to me that is most sympathetic. Because again, I want you to put yourself in the position of this parent. You are the mother of a child that is born blind. Never saw the light of day. And they didn't have Emory, or they didn't have the University of Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have the resources that we got. And the chances are is this child was relegated to a life of begging and an early death in a world of no vision. I've thought about me and how I would feel. Would you want to put yourself there? Is that pain? And some of you may have experienced that. I don't know. But when I think about the position of a mother and a father raising a child in this environment, my heart goes out to them, as it would you as well. This is why this is fixing to get more touching as it goes on. So they go get the parents. And they ask him, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How doth he now see? And his parents answered him and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. They're going to tell them the only two things that they can speak with authority. Yes, this is my son. This is not a doppelganger. Mm-hmm. Okay? And secondly, he was born blind. And that's really all that they know. But they also know this. He now sees. Mm-hmm. They know that. You're that mother. Or you're that father. And you see your son over there and he's now sighted. What are you going to do when you see him? That's your child. That's my child. What's the first thing you're going to say to your son? Son, what happened? What happened? This is probably the happiest day of this mother's life. Son, what happened? And he says, Mama, there's a man, and here's what he told me to do. And I went and did it. And I can see. does she believe him? Does she believe him? She believes him. I would believe him. You would too. Because your son has no agenda. He has no reason to lie. And whatever your son told you on this important, joyous occasion, you're going to believe it. So, mother and dad believe that their child was healed by a man that told them, that spit and put mud in his eye and told him to go wash. They believe him. But they know that these Jews here with an agenda are fixing to be quizzing them. Do you see a conflict? Do you see an undercurrent of a real problem that's going to crop up? And mother and dad really don't know what to do because of the pressures of that society of that day, that they were fixing to come down on them like a ton of bricks. In fact, if you want to see a ton of bricks on a group of people, go read the book of Hebrews, as I know you already have. The undercurrent of that whole book is Jews which had confessed the Lord Jesus, and the society pressure upon them was so overwhelming and it was so great that they went back into what they came out of. It was that great. That's how domineering the Jews were. And they knew what was coming. They knew what was fixing to happen. This is our son, but what by means we now see him, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. So that's what they do. Look at this. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. Okay, that confirms that. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man confessed that he was a Jesus, that he was Jesus, out of the synagogue, you are banished. They said, he's of age, ask him. He'll tell you out of his own mouth. So that's what they did. So he has a confrontation with the Jews. Don't you love what he said? In fact, we sing this, don't we? Don't we sing this? Whether he be a sinner, speaking of the Lord, whether he be a sinner or not, I don't know. But this one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Don't we sing that? It seems like there's a hymn that we've sung before. I think that has that line in it, okay? And that's what he did. In fact, he keeps going and telling them this, and they accuse him. Look at verse 28. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciples, but we're Moses' disciples, and we know that God spake to Moses, but as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And the man answered, he says, this is a marvelous miracle that's occurred, and instead of you rejoicing in it, you are getting legalistic on me. You see me as trouble. You can't explain me. Look what he says, verse 32. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. That's what the man said in his defense. And they answered and said unto him, wast thou altogether born in sin? See, the man, remember, I said at the outset that this was the first time congenital blindness had ever been taken care of. Never had happened. And he references that by Scripture. So what is their answer to him? You were altogether born in sins. Wait a minute. They're reverting back to that wore out old philosophy that you must have done something wrong. You see? They didn't let go of that. And what did they do? They cast him out of the temple. Shock. They cast him out of the temple. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Mm-hmm. I love this. You do too. And when he found him, and when he, Jesus, found him.
That's right.
So, who found who? Brethren, all the groups have come and gone. Everybody's gone. Even his parents knuckled under the pressure. They're not here. Mama and daddy, who knew who had healed him, but they knuckled under the societal pressure. And sometimes that plagues us. And realizing what had happened and who's left alone, this is a Jacob experience, isn't it? This is a Jacob time. And he was left alone. But Jesus comes along. Jesus found him. He found you. And I trust he found me. I never found him.
That's right.
I found him because he found me first. That would fit, wouldn't it?
Amen, brother.
I love him because he loved me first. Would that fit? That's Bible. Mm-hmm. So he was found. Now remember, he's never seen him. He doesn't know what he looks like.
Right.
And Jesus answered him that was cast out and said unto, and when he found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" Now, did he recognize the voice? I don't know. It's a good question. I can't say. I don't know. And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him," now you have, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped. The essence, brethren, of worship is giving. Is that not the essence of worship? And what did he give? In this case, he gave homage. He gave thanksgiving. Brethren, the essence of worship in our lives today is to give. That's what you and I are commanded and instructed and privileged to do.
That's right.
Is to give. And he worshiped. Y'all remember over in the book of 2 Kings when Elisha, in the day of Elisha, and there was the king that was there, and the Syrians were bombarding Judah, and Elisha was there, and his prophet was there, and Elisha, I'm giving this real quick, and Elisha was, his servant was real upset, but Elisha was okay. Remember what Elisha told his servant? He said, "There's more of us than there are of them." Well, why did he say that? Because he's able to see something his servant couldn't see.
That's right.
And Elisha prayed a prayer, and he asked for something real unusual. He said, "First of all, Lord, open the eyes of my servant that he can see." I can understand that part. But then the second part is a little more difficult, isn't it? "Lord, the enemies of your people, blind them." Isn't that what he asked? And isn't that exactly what happened? It is what happened. And we said at the outset of this beautiful picture here that something occurred that had never occurred. Congenital blindness was healed. But then the Lord's fixing to make a pronouncement here which is most unusual, that's in line with 2 Kings there in that blinding which was prayed for by Elisha. You know, the Lord came here and that the blind may see, that the deaf would hear, and that the lame would walk. In fact, go back and say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel." And all of those things would come forth, and among those being that the blind would see. But now here's the Lord fixing to make a pronouncement on this group that was here, these Jews. And he worshiped. And Jesus says, "For judgment." Mm-hmm. And we don't hear this part quoted a whole lot.
Yeah, right.
This part is really kind of, this doesn't make the headlines, okay? But it's just as much in red letters as anything else. And let's look at what the Lord said here. "For judgment I am come into this world." For judgment. that they which see not might see. Well, I understand that. We just saw that was just evidence, is it not? Here's the part that gets a little difficult. That they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Wow. You mean the Lord came to blind the sighted? If you want to put it that way, yes. That's what he said. Isn't that his words? What does he mean by that? Who's under consideration? These Pharisees. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. What did the Lord Jesus pray? That thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. Now, do you know who the wise and the prudent were? They were these same Pharisees, and they walked around with a big label on their head. It said, wise and prudent. That's what they did, literally. They, in their prayers that they prayed that, Lord, we thank you that we are the wise and the prudent. And actually, he's mocking them in the prayer that he gives to the Father. I thank thee, O Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, or so they say, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. And those that are sighted would be blinded. I like this part, next verse. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard those words. They heard what he said. And they said unto him, are we blind also? I think it piqued their interest. What was that movie from 20, 25 years ago? The guy was in the car and it's kind of intimidating and he said, are you talking to me? It doesn't matter what the movie. It was a movie. There was a line in, are you talking to me? Well, that's what they were saying here. Are you talking to us? And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin or you should have no condemnation. That's what that means there. But now ye say, we see. We are sighted. We are spiritually sensitive. We are the wise and the prudent. We see, therefore, your sin, your condemnation remaineth. Did they see the Lord? No. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent amongst you, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks beneath your wing, and you would not. Behold. By the way, a little lesson, brethren. Anytime you see the word behold in Scripture, take note.
That's right.
It's an important word. Behold. Your house, your people, your nation, is left unto you barren, desolate, empty, habitation of owls.
Yep. That's right.
Your house is left unto you barren. Next few words. You will see me no more. Until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Do you see him? Are you able to see Jesus? Brethren, if you see, what does that hymn say? And none can see him but his friends, and they were once his foes. Do you realize that if you're able to see him, he's your friend, and you're his friend? I got a simple definition that I just, if I might be so bold, of what fellowship is. It's the simplest definition that I think we can come up with. Fellowship is the rejoicing in of a relationship. Think about it. There are those that have relationship yet they don't rejoice. There's no fellowship. But you who have fellowship with him, what are you able to rejoice in? That he's your God. He has made you his. You are a son. Sons we are by God's election. And he made us that way. Therefore, we can do what? We can rejoice in that and have that fellowship. Is that a sweet picture, what we saw there? Is that how people are? That's exactly what's going on. And brethren, that's going on in the world today. The same reactions. Now, one interesting post note is we don't know the time frame of this chapter. Did it take a week? I don't know. Did it take a few days? Don't know. Just don't know. There's no time sequence put there. But we know that it did occur. It's not a story. It's an event. And it occurred. Was blind, but now I see. Come ahead, brother.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.